Welcome to everyone. This is our monthly Dharma talk. I'm Jaya Ashmore. I hope you can hear me okay. I'm using a new microphone. This is a sound of water coming out of the earth in this valley, which is covered in almond petals this month. And I'd like to start with a poem, as I often do, and again, a poem by Wendell Berry, as I often do, from the book of his collected old and new poems called Sabbaths, about days of rest. The collected and new Sabbath poems is called This Day. So he's a living eco-activist, poet, farmer, person in the southeastern United States. From 1991, number 10 of the Sabbath poems. And before I begin reading, maybe let your body find a more comfortable position, as if we would be at ease on our planet, at home in ourselves, on the earth, listening just for joy. Loving you has taught me the infinite longing of the self to be given away, and the great difficulty of that entire giving. And I just want to comment that the style and formatting of the poem, of course, goes along with what he's saying, which is that there's no end. And so I'll probably start again and again and read through, because there are pauses, but there's hardly any long pause in the poem. Just as loving and giving is infinite, calls for more giving and loving. So the poem's words keep spilling out one line from the other to the next. Loving you has taught me the infinite longing of the self to be given away. The infinite longing of the self to be given away. Isn't that gorgeous? So we have our tormented, neurotic ways that we feel we can never quite be enough, or we always need to give more, or we always need to receive more. We feel our lack is infinite. And it all hides and covers the infinite longing, that deep, natural, clear, pure wish, just like the water coming out of the ground here in the valley at the spring. The longing, so a call, a pull, a current of the self, of someone who is and isn't a separate being, the calling of that one to be given away. So when we get neurotic and we build our little castles or little cottages on top of what is, which is indescribable, which has no limit, we try to make a little shelter there for ourselves on top, of course. We have the feeling of wanting to be rich and able to give, wanting to be rich and able to receive, not having. Wanting to belong, especially. So a friend of mine this week is tuning into the sense of how often communication with other people is really all about love. People asking for things, she said. As a symbol or as a token of asking for love. But a deep longing to be given away, to be precious and to be given away, rather than to be precious and protected and kept, rather than being kept to be given. Feeling that gesture of freedom that's deep within. Loving you. And this man, Wendell Berry, who wrote these words, is still married to his wife. And they've been married, I think, it's over 50 years now. 55-0. So he's talking about a specific loving of a specific person that's taught him. The infinite longing of the self to be given away. And the great difficulty of that entire giving. For in love to give is to receive. and then there is yet more to give. So if there is in us a sense of wanting to get to the end of the giving, let me just give everything and be done with all that giving, be done with being that open and vulnerable. But because in giving, isn't that lovely, it is to receive, and then there's more to give. I love in Bert Hellinger's work with the family constellations how he talks about blind love and then a kind of another dimension where there's another law of love. So with blind love, we sacrifice everything to try to fix other people's responsibilities. And it doesn't work. It passes the pain on from generation to generation. But a wise love, an open love, when we enter that other dimension where the law of love is what directs, guides the current of our lives, then giving and loving leads to more giving and loving. And I love how Wendell Berry here talks about it. In love, to give is to receive. So when we're within love, within the current of love, and giving happens. So not just any giving, but giving that comes from as a movement of love or of life, if you prefer. There is a receiving. There's a nourishment that comes through being that open and giving away and making space. And then there's yet more to give. So it's an enriching giving. And others have been born of our giving, to whom the self, greatened by the gifts, must be given. So the responsibility, not an entanglement, but a being woven further into this magic carpet of loving life, of giving life. So others have been born of our giving. So he may be speaking of his children and grandchildren. He may be speaking of his farm animals and plants. Or he may be just speaking of how fertile it is, how much is born from that creativity, from that freely giving, from allowing that deep inner movement to open. So in the Indian spiritual traditions, they talk about Brahman as the ultimate, and the word means expansive. So the ultimate as expansiveness, a giving that is joyful, not obligation, not should, not duty. So others have been born of our giving, just to feel the quality of that. Also, the mantra from the Indian spiritual tradition, that there is wholeness, Purna, and we've just had the full moon last night in India celebrating one of the biggest Hindu holidays of the year, Holi. So last night was a fire to burn all the old, even to the point of rubbing off the dead skin with a paste made of flour and water, and the whole family rubbing off the dead skin with this paste, and then taking that dead skin in the paste and throwing it into the communal holy fire, where traditionally the old clothing, the old furniture, things that were broken and no longer useful, things that we now tend to carry around or pay for a storage place to put it in or whatever, don't quite want to give it up even though we have too much. So the yearly burning of what's old, what's no longer useful, and of course symbolically as well as literally, giving up what's no longer serving. And then today, the throwing of colors, celebration by playing, they call it playing colors, throwing color, beautiful bright colors all over each other, which nowadays are often made out of harmful chemicals, but it is a lot of fun. So feeling the natural dying of what's no longer useful, no longer serving, no longer alive, the natural dying of what's not full of life. And then how through giving, the self, he calls it, greatened by the gift, so made greater by giving. So there's from Purna, from the fullness, comes more fullness. And neither the original fullness nor the fullness that is born from that original fullness is diminished by there being more. So it's a giving away that is a life-giving rather than about debt and lack. So from the fullness, a complete, something that's complete and full emerges. So there's a sense of completion, and from that, something that also feels complete and full is born. And neither the first nor the second is lessened by that birth. But there is a bond, there is a connection, there is a current that goes through. And the one who gave birth to is greatened by giving life to those that are born, whether people, whether animals, whether a farm, whether words, whether silence, whether just a quality, whatever is born, whatever is radiant from you. Most often that you're unconscious of, that just happens so naturally. As Denise Levertov, another American poet, this time a poetess, a female poet who's no longer living, talked about that unconscious light in faces, but not unconscious in a negative sense, not unselfconscious, it's unselfconscious, not pretense, it happens by itself. It's not the purpose of the person to shine in that way. Does so happen. So there's more to give, and others have been born of our giving, to whom the self, greatened by gifts, must be given. So the one who is given birth to must give itself. We must give ourselves to those that we've given birth to. We're involved and implicated in our creations. And by that giving, be increased until self-burdened the self, staggering upward in years. So this giving, which then asks for more giving, which is further enriching, further bringing more greatness. And as we stagger, it would be like carrying a heavy load, so much greatness, upward in years as we get older, the sense of how rich we become as we age, that it's hard to carry. But he puts it in a very human way. So we're walking, barely able to hold all the greatness, all the gifts, all the giving and receiving as we go up in years. So by that giving, we are increased until self-burdened, the self, staggering upward in years, in fear, hope, love, and sorrow, the self imagines rising like a moon, a pale moon risen in daylight. So at first we thought it was just going to be a simple image of the full moon rising over the woods, and he would say something beautiful about that, but it's a pale moon risen in daylight. Something impossible has happened, or something very ordinary that happens almost every day, except the full moon day, and the new moon day, there's a moon. Pale in daylight, rising over the dark woods, the self, and now this time the self with a capital S for the first time, meaning for him something beyond the individual. So let's back up again and get a running start again. So there's yet more to give, and then there is yet more to give, and others have been born of our giving, to whom the self, greatened by gifts, must be given. So that must, that's not a should. But the only way is to give to those that we have given life to, whether literal or symbolic children. That giving, there's no way other than to give ourselves to that, and it's joyful, and it's complete, and it's also total, totally demanding. And by that giving, be increased until self-burdened, the self, the small self, staggering upward in years, in fear, hope, love, and sorrow, imagines rising like a moon, a pale moon risen in daylight over the dark woods. The self, the big self, whose gift we and all others are, the self that is by definition given. So coming finally to the sort of center of the circle, the center of the full moon. That which is most alive and which gives everything its sparkle, which is by definition given. So just coming back into our starting place and feeling that that is given. As a practice, just coming back through all the loving, the giving, the receiving, the rising, the increase. Then we see something as if a pale moon during the day. It would be easy not to notice it. Something that has gifted us and all others, and that is by definition given, that he calls the self in this poem. Having that as a practice, coming back into the starting place that is by definition given, and that then gives itself and all, can help us feel more clearly what isn't a given, that we take as if it is true, and which in fact is complete delusion. When we talk about reality, we usually refer to complete delusion. Our sense today, someone mentioned the feeling that she notices coming in all situations, or in many situations, over and over again. The same feeling comes, that it's too late, she said. It's too late. She'll have to really hurry to catch up. That she can't quite do enough. That she's already wasted her life. It's too late. That's the feeling that comes as if true, completely fabricated, completely made up through her past painful experiences, through her education, through the alertness, the over-alertness of our systems, body and mind. It's too late. Gotta hurry. Even though it's too late, it's hopeless. I could never do enough. And I've already wasted my life, but therefore I've got to stay in this emergency mode to try to catch up. And like the scientist who is schizophrenic in the movie Beautiful Minds, he finally has the insight towards the end that these people that only he could see from the time he was in college right through towards till the end of his life, he could see these people that no one else could see. He at some point realized in a crisis moment where he was on the verge of possibly hurting or killing his wife, because these people that only he could see were telling him she was dangerous. Suddenly he realized, these people that only I can see, that I take as real, haven't changed over all these years. There's still the little girl who's maybe 8 years old. She's still 8 years old, 20, 30 years later. There's the college age guy, and he's still a college age guy, even though I was and I'm not anymore. So the fact that these reactions that feel so urgent and make us so motivated to put all of our energy into things at the expense of everything else, I can't do enough and it's too late and I've wasted my life, so I've got to hurry up and catch up. It doesn't change over the years. It doesn't change over the situations. Mm-hmm. The same mode descends and enters the bloodstream and we are its slave. When we realize that that's repeating, whereas nothing else quite repeats in the same way, the situations are organic and alive and have different spontaneous possibilities going on. we can start to take a risk to let go of that kind of urgency and to be available, that all of our resources could be given, not out of fear and urgency of that kind. I can never do enough. I've already wasted my life. It's too late. Gotta catch up, even though it will be impossible to catch up, for example. To catch that kind of tail end of that delusion that felt and feels so real, so true, can help us then feel behind that the self whose gift we and all others are, the self that is by definition given. Something more quiet with plenty of space. That not out of fear and out of debt and out of lack and obligation we could give our all. But we could let all that rest and see where it moves. What's the movement? When we let all our resources be at rest, we can feel how vast they are, how vast our resources are, and how growing as we go through life and allow giving and loving to teach us the infinite movement of us to be given completely away, however difficult that entire giving may be. And especially however difficult that entire receiving is. I'll just read the poem again to weave it into this possibility to dare to give your all, not because you're supposed to and not where you're supposed to. Not because you've got to catch up and impress people or protect, but because by definition, all of us constellates around this abundant, empty, infinite center that gives and is given. Is given by definition and all of its gift. Loving you has taught me the infinite longing of the self to be given away, and the great difficulty of that entire giving. For in love to give is to receive, and then there is yet more to give. And others have been born of our giving, to whom the self, greatened by gifts, must be given, and by that giving be increased, until self-burdened the self, staggering upward in years, in fear, hope, love, and sorrow, imagines rising like a moon, a pale moon risen in daylight, over the dark woods. The self, capital S, whose gift we and all others are, the self that is, by definition, given. So again, I want to especially emphasize where in the poem, the biggest pause in the poem, which isn't quite a full stop, it isn't quite a period, it isn't quite a full sentence. The whole thing is one sentence, the whole poem. But the biggest pause is after we notice that in love to give is to receive, and then there is yet more to give. We notice that it's not an end. We notice that it's sustainable. Self-sustaining, it feeds itself. We don't have to look around for how am I going to get enough energy together to give more. And after that pause, ah, there is yet more to give. Pause. And others have been born of our giving. We notice we're not alone. We don't stay isolated in this little bubble or tank of love, but there's an effect in the world. It creates more resources. It brings out more avenues for the expression of love and life and wisdom, knowing. Others have been born of our giving, and we, greatened by gifts, must be given to those others that have been born. So after the biggest pause in the poem, which is not quite a full end of a sentence, we notice there's more to give. Then we pause and we notice the great effects of that giving around. It's actually life is given, as if breath is breathed into creatures somehow through us. By simple listening, maybe lives are saved sometimes by a word or a gesture. Transformation can occur. And this must. So we notice that others have been born through the loving, giving, receiving, giving, more to give. Others have been born, and the one who gave birth must be given. So this must is a completely has a completely different character from our usual sense of urgency, not in never do enough, it's too late, wasted my life, gotta hurry up. And yes, as if I were an isolated individual and had to do all of that and find somewhere to dig some more resources out of the ground to be able to give more, I wouldn't be enough. I would always be late and I would be wasting my life. But luckily, we're not that separate, isolated person who's got to do it all. From somewhere else comes this energy. From somewhere else comes this other kind of urge to give, to love, and to allow, through loving and giving, all of that receptivity, which is even more tricky sometimes. We don't always like our vulnerability. So this other kind of must, which is the doorway through to our freedom, by that giving, we're increased. And fear, hope, love, and sorrow come along. It's not only smiles, laughter, and delight. But we start to notice, like a moon in daylight, something that is there, but hard to see, it doesn't stand out. Something that's actually giving through us and has given us and is given.
90 seconds.
So our practice just during the day to notice a tendency to feel at odds with the world, to feel not at ease, to feel not enough, to feel that we're too late or whatever, as if that's the reality. And to notice that it isn't. And to feel, what if we let all those resources be at rest? What kind of pale moon do we notice rising over the dark woods in the daylight? Not standing out, not calling attention to itself, but certainly there. Often people may feel it more in the belly. The head and the heart may be trapped in the conditioning and the pain. And the repetition, and the unchanging pattern that seems to be real, the delusion, not enough. And resting into the belly, maybe just a faint thread, or maybe a good smooth current, whatever is possible in the day, of okayness, or that's not true, that fear is not true, there's something else shining. Something else that, by definition, already is given, already is freed, already freely gives itself and is freely given. Thank you for listening today. We have the podcast recording now. It's no longer broadcasting live, so I don't know if you're listening in, if you're able to hear this. I'd just like to make an experiment, though. if anyone is listening and can hear through the live broadcast right now, if you'd be willing to try to call, it would be cool. And I think on your screen you would see where you call in. I noticed that I don't see on my screen where you call in. Let's see if I can find it. Okay. So just for fun, then, I'm going to play a recording of the sounds of the evening interior room light. Another experiment to see. And pretty soon we will have improved sound quality. Sometime this year we'll have improved sound quality. Please let me know if it was noticeably better this time with the microphone that I'm using today, which was a gift from Tom Riddle. Thank you very much, Tom. So I hope you could hear, that was the recording of this evening too. And I'll just end with a poem that I wrote this week from, based on being in this valley of springtime. Whose wedding was that? Whose party is this? And whose honeymoon? And how did I get invited? Almond blossoms all over the valley. Thanks again for listening. Namaste.